Hello and welcome to Home to Her, the podcast that's dedicated to reclaiming the lost and stolen wisdom of the sacred feminine. I'm your host, Liz Kelly, and on each episode, we explore her stories and myths, her spiritual principles, and most importantly, what this wisdom has to offer us right now. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Hey, everybody, this is Liz joining you as usual from Central Virginia and the unceded lands of the Monacan Nation. And I am so glad that you are here with me today. And if you've been listening to the show for a while, you already know this, but if you're new, you're going to hear it now. If you want to find out whose native lands you are on, go to native-land.ca. There's a great map of the whole world, but it's particularly helpful for the Americas, I think, to figure this out. And I will put that in the show notes for you. And if you are interested in learning about the sacred feminine in a deeper way, then I want to invite you to check out my online school, Home to Her Academy. I started it this year, which is 2023. And my vision for the school is to bring together qualified, really engaging instructors who can teach us about the sacred feminine in ways that are rooted in the historical record while also being embodied and intuitive, no either or here, who can teach in ways that are intersectional and also practical. So meaning that we can apply what we learn to our ordinary everyday lives. And a couple of upcoming classes to mention. Returning to the Well, Sacred Feminine Wisdom for Your Motherhood Journey is coming up in January of 2024. You might have heard that this was scheduled for this fall, and Elizabeth Gould, who is my co-teacher, and I, we decided to postpone this class until the new year, just in the hopes that us mamas will have a little bit more time to breathe and bring some intentional thought and planning to our parenting then. I will also be teaching my course, Home to Her Story, Home to Your Story, which is an introduction to sacred feminine wisdom and an exploration of what all this has to do with you personally. I'm going to teach that in January of 2024 again as well. So check out hometoheracademy.com for more info. And I will have this in the show notes if you don't remember that. And if you would rather read about the sacred feminine, then maybe you would want to check out my book, Home to Her, Walking the Transformative Path of the Sacred Feminine from Womancraft Publishing. It's a 2023 Nautilus Gold Award recipient. Wahoo! I did promise, and I have on other shows, I'm going to stop saying that when it's not 2023 anymore, but I'm just going to keep bragging about it until the year's done. It's available wherever you buy your books, but please do consider buying it from Womancraft, which is an amazing woman-owned business, or order it from your local bookstore. And if you have read it and you liked it, reviews on Amazon and Goodreads are super helpful. And the same goes with podcast reviews on Spotify or on iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast, that would be super helpful as well. And lastly, if you are listening to the show and you have feedback and ideas, whatever you've got, I love to hear from you. So please feel free to reach out on social. It's usually the best way to get in touch. Although if you go to my website, you can send me an email too, but I will put all of that in the show notes. And now for why you are actually here. So we're in for a treat today. My guest and I have been coordinating many months to try and make this podcast episode a reality. She's very busy. She travels a lot. but today is the day. We're making it happen. She was one of my co-presenters from my recent talk on fostering intersectionality in earth-based spiritual traditions, which we delivered together at the Parliament of the World's Religions earlier this year in Chicago. We're going to have an episode about that too coming up. But while I have certainly gotten to know her through that experience, we had a whole year of pre-planning that we participated in to make that dialogue happen. I'm also really excited about this conversation because there's a lot that I don't know about her and her background. So I'm going to get to learn with you, which is pretty cool. So with that, let me introduce her to you now. Dr. Marie Naison is a social worker with over 30 years of clinical experience in mental health. She is Professor Emeritus from the City College New York, SEEK Department of Counseling and Support Services, and she formerly held a private practice in Harlem. She is a returned Peace Corps volunteer, a former Fulbright scholar in Senegal, and she has led study abroad and international service learning courses in Africa and the Caribbean. She co-designed and facilitated a service learning course in Senegal with a focus on women and spirituality. And the course brought neo-pagan priestesses from Egypt in the United States to participate with students in an in-depth vision quest in 2013. She also served on the executive committee of Ubuntu Rise, Revivers of Indigenous Spirituality and Ecosystem. I feel like, Mari, we could spend the whole episode just unpacking your bio. I'm almost done. Her spiritual journey has led her to be initiated in the voodoo tradition as a mambo in her native land of Haiti and as a priestess in the Yoruba tradition of Ife in Sagamu, Nigeria. For over 20 years, she has been a member of a Lakota Sweat Lodge Sundance community in the United States. She's also a Reiki master, a graduate of Priestess Practicum of Triple Spiral of Duna Shi, which is a pagan spiritual community. If that sounds familiar, that's because the wonderful Gina Martin, that is her community. She's been on the show. And then also Elisa Starkweather's Priestess Path experience. And she is joining us today from her home in Harlem, New York. Mari, it is such an honor to have you here.
Who is that?
Someone amazing that I am so privileged to be sitting with.
Oh my goodness. I'm impressed.
I'm impressed too. Well, people, if they've been listening to the show, have probably heard me say this, that this is honestly one of my favorite things to have guests on, is to just, like, you know, get to read back the awesomeness of you to you. I mean, we don't always get that, you know, so you wrote it, but it's great to, I think, have it reflected back, you know.
I appreciate that. And it's interesting because each of those journeys have been goddess led. When I look back, it was spirit talking to me, say, okay, now's the time to do this. And my various initiation, I went kicking and screaming. I don't want to spend the money. I don't want to do this. And when I got to the level of initiation, it was just what I needed. Mm. And in fact, one of those initiations literally saved my life. Oh, like, wow. Literally saved my life. And so each of those journeys, they led up to where I am today. Mm-hmm. I am who I am because of all of those journeys that's been goddess led.
Wow. Okay, I usually start with asking people to tell us about kind of their spiritual background, you know, how you started growing up. And I'm trying to decide if I want to do that or if I want to hear you talk about this journey, that this initiation that saved your life, because that feels like a big deal and we're right there. So can I ask you about that?
So sure. I am an Iyanifa, and that is a priestess path in the Yoruba tradition. Which is Ifa. And so Ifa is part of African spirituality. It's one of the foundation of African spirituality. And I've been involved in that spiritual community for a number of years. And there was I received a reading that I needed to do some work in Africa to heal ancestral trauma. And so one of my mentors brings a group of folks to Samagu, Nigeria, every year for initiation. I had no intention of doing initiation, but I knew that I needed to do this work in Africa to unravel this trauma that had been, germane in my family. And it was interesting. It was only in the maternal line. So all the women in my family have a particular physical manifestation. And we realized that it was just in the woman in the maternal line. And through a reading, it was like, okay, this is what's happening. And in order to unravel that, you have to go to Africa and do your prayers there, do your offerings there, which is called an Igbo. And so when I mentioned this to my mentor, my spiritual mentor, that I wanted to go with him, so, well, since you're going all the way to Nigeria, you might as well go to initiation, because that will also help with unraveling this ancestral trauma. And so when we got to initiation, and in the Yoruba tradition, there's a lot of divination that happens as you're going through initiation. And And there was six of us at the time initiating, and I was number six. I was the last one. So the Baba Laos, which is the name of the priest in that tradition, as they're doing the divination, they couldn't close the reading. There's a way in most practice that tells you, okay, everything has been said, you can close. But for me, they couldn't close the reading. And they called my Baba Lao over, my mentor over, and said, whispered to him, that he came to me, he said, they need to do a special offering in order for you to stay on this planet. And unbeknownst to them, I was in depression. And not so much suicidal thoughts. I just felt like, I don't want to be here. I want to go home. I want to go home to spirit.
Yeah.
And many of us who are in this community can relate to that. It's like, it's not like, you know, you want to kill yourself. It's just like, you know, I just want to go home. And I had been deeply feeling that, and also had a level of depression that I could recognize it, but never shared it with anyone. And it showed up in the reading. And I was told, if you want to stay on this planet, we need to do something special for you, because the ancestors are happy to have you home if that's what you want to do. So this goes to the power of your thought. It's not so much what you say, it's what you're thinking, because spirit will pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
Will pick up that energy. And it could have been, I'm walking the streets and I get hit by a car or something, but they could have easily taken me back home. And so I had to make a decision to have them do this work for me so I could stay on this dimension. This is in 2019. And I actually had the audacity to even think about it. It's like, do I really want to stay here? My daughter is fine. She has enough people in her life. I have a favorite daughter. She's my only child. That's the only person I was concerned about, but I knew that she was going to be okay. And so I had to make a decision, and I said, okay, let them do what they need to do. I will stay on this planet. Because my mentor said, you know, you don't know what your life is going to be a year from now. And since then, my life has just exploded in so many wonderful ways. And so this is what I said, because had I not gone to initiation, had they not done the reading, they would not, because I, at the time, was in denial, and I was not speaking to anyone, even though I'm a mental health professional, that I had this desire not to be on this planet. And so they did offerings for me in Nigeria. And so here I am today.
Wow. I am very, first of all, I understand. I know what you're talking about. I've had similar feelings, like that resonates with me. And I am very, very, very glad that you chose to be here, because I wouldn't have known you, you know, first of all, like, and so much magic. I think it's just it's such a simple, but such a good reminder that we don't know where we're going to be in 6 months or a year from now.
Exactly.
And we don't know where we're going to be tomorrow.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, since then, I authored a book. I have created projects in my community. I have traveled extensively, especially this year, and supported people in their journey. And I've checked off things off of my bucket list that I've wanted since I was a high schooler. Mm-hmm. Like, most recently just came back from the Galapagos Island.
Amazing.
That was on my dream, but had I decided to take myself out, or spirit took me out,
yeah,
I wouldn't have had that. So yeah.
I guess one other thing I'm thinking about related to that too is we also don't, well, and I don't know, Muddy, what your view of reincarnation is, or what you think happens once we pass. I guess that would be a question for you. But I know for me, when I think about it, I assume energy, we're somehow this will be recycled into some other way. And I don't know how and when and where in the universe I'm going to show up next. And so, right, we don't know what opportunities are going to present themselves to us. Like, what if we come back to this plane? Like, what bodies we're going to inhabit? What social conditions will be around us? So, it's all a wild card, if you will, imagining that.
You know, it is, and then it's not. And I see this in the tradition of voodoo and Ifa, Yoruba. And let me just clarify something. So I was born in Port-au-Prince, and I am on the land of the Lenape people in Harlem, New York, by the way, you know, giving thanks to those indigenous people whose land that I'm sitting on. But I'm from the land of the Awak people, of Haiti, Haiti, the island of Hispaniola. We share that island with Dominican Republic. I was born there and immigrated when I was, what, eight or seven. So I pretty much grew up here, but I've gone home many times for family and to work on different projects. So the spiritual tradition in Haiti is pronounced as Haitian voodoo, V-O-D-O-U, voodoo. However, the origin and foundation of that tradition is out of West Africa, Benin, and it's called voodoon. So I just wanted to make that separation. It's the same thing, and with the transatlantic slave experience, we brought those traditions to the so-called new land, and then it morphed to something different, but it still has its base out of Africa. So voodoo is one, Santeria out of Cuba is one, Candomblé in Brazil is another, all of them out of Africa. And so what's interesting, so I'm initiated in Haitian voodoo. I'm also initiated in Nigeria in Ifa. And we believe strongly in reincarnation. We believe that we always walk with the visible and the invisible world. That is, I just kind of grew up understanding that, that the ancestors are always with us. The well ones and sometimes those who are still traveling and need light. So we're always praying for all the ancestors. And in both tradition, there's a belief that you can return, and many often do return to that soul family. So you reincarnate as, and this is not just this is not just unique to those traditions, but many other traditions believe that you reincarnate in your soul family. And so often, you know, people will say, oh, that's grandmama return when a new child is born, because they'll have a certain way, they'll have a certain look that is so unique to that ancestor. Okay, this person has come back to this family in a different role. And so reincarnation is very much part of those traditions, and really paying respect and homage to that aspect, because it's so important to understand that the ancestors do come back. And they do walk with us. And so when they're gone, when they leave this dimension, it's definitely sad. My parents have been gone for many years now, and that sadness will never leave me, as many of us know. and yet I know that I can have conversations with them. In fact, today, as we celebrate, as in all many traditions that we're going to celebrate our ancestors. Yesterday, I went shopping for all the foods that my parents like. Later on this afternoon, I'm going to cook. And so we're going to have the dining room table is going to be a massive altar to remember them and to invite them. But we know that they're walking around here. Somebody's walking around here. And my animals in particular, when someone is in the space, especially my dog, actually it's my daughter's dog, let me correct that. he'll be looking off and there's nothing there. So I know, okay, so who's there? So yeah, reincarnation is very much part of those African traditions as well.
Thank you for clarifying that. And yes, we are recording this on November 2nd. I don't know when this is going to come out, not too far from now. But yeah, we're recording this on November 2nd. And before we started recording, I was just saying that this is the day. Well, I know there are certain traditions that, honor sundown October 31st to sundown November 1st. Like, it just really depends what tradition you're part of. But we're doing this one in my family, Day of the Dead, too. And part of it is because my kids are still young enough to celebrate Halloween. And so we're not going to compete with that, right? I thought that would be insane. Like, there's just too much candy and all of that tradition. And I'm fine to honor that. But we always try to do an honoring of ancestors similar to yours, Muddy. Within a couple of days of that as well. So,
It's important. It's important.
yeah. Well, and you referenced a little bit of your background growing up, and I want to go back to that because I always love to ask guests that question about what your spiritual background was, and especially if that relates to where you are now or how that informed where you are now. Sometimes I have guests who are like, "Wow, I really needed to get out of that tradition." And then sometimes there are people who have a powerful through line all the way through. So I'd love to hear you talk about that.
So I'm a cradle Catholic.
Mm.
Yeah, through and through. There's a saying that while 90% of folks in Haiti are like almost 95% are Catholic or Christian, that same 95% are also believers of voodoo, and even though some of them may not profess it. What's interesting for me is, and it all really relates to where I am now, because I grew up in a very Catholic family. It wasn't, if you were going to go to church on Sunday, it was what you were going to wear.
Yes.
Easter week, we were in church every single day. So very Catholic. However, I grew up in a deeply spiritual family. Though my parents really revered the Catholic Church, and they were deacon and all of that, my father always said, you don't need to go to church in order to connect with God, right? God is all around you. Just look at the trees, just breathe. So while he was deeply religious, we really got a sense of deep spirituality. However, we were told that no, we don't practice voodoo in this family. I was never told that it was bad. And voodoo in this society has been demonified. It's dismissive and has a really negative reputation. And there's a lot of reason for that, and a good part of it, and even African spirituality is really disregarded. And a lot of that has to do with racism. That's a whole nother conversation. But Hollywood really did a number with voodoo in particular. Out of all of the African tradition, it's, the skeleton and the zombie. And so with that mindset, they said, no, we don't practice it. Never told it was bad. And so growing up, I noticed certain things that my mother did. And it wasn't until much later that I understood that she was practicing the tradition, but she never felt comfortable to share this with me, with the family. And I think a lot of it has to do with her fear of this, how the society viewed voodoo. And there's always one in the family. In terms of working with the goddess, understanding what that energy is, and bringing it to the community, to the family, and really standing out. And I think you're probably the one in your family.
Yep.
And I was the one in my family, because in my 20s, I was like, you know what? I want to learn about more about voodoo and what that is. And begin my exploration and understanding, reading books, going to ceremonies in Brooklyn, where there's a strong Haitian community. And I actually went to Haiti and I attended ceremonies. And even then, my parents did not really talk more much about it. And it wasn't until my mother transitioned, And also when my father transitioned in 2019, that he began to share, oh, yes, our family very much participated. My father was 94. After all these years of saying that we didn't do this, that we're learning that indeed our family were very much part of that tradition. And his father, my grandfather, talked to plants, because he was a guérisseur, a healer. And that is part of voodoo. Voodoo is really a tradition that brings balance, very much earth-based in terms of working with the forces of nature, working with the planet, with the earth, with the plants, with the trees. And yes, there's another part that is dark, and that is true of all traditions. There's always a part that is in the dark. But he began to share that we were practitioners in voodoo, and that one of the ways, because his family grew up very poor, and one of the times that he ate well was during ceremonies. Mm. When they had ceremonies, that he would eat well. And so I was called to the tradition in that in this end-up ceremony that you mentioned in my bio, and this was in Africa, one of the very few matriarchal traditions that still exists in Africa. And these are priestesses. They work with the water energy, and they're by the coast. We attended some ceremonies with them, and with Gina Martin. It was during the ceremony that took me on the trance, that transported me. During this particular ceremony in Senegal, I was transported to the hills of Haiti, where I was witnessing a voodoo ceremony. And then when I came out of the trance and I was in Senegal, the minute I got home to New York, I contacted one of a Mambo, which is a priestess in voodoo, to say, hey, I need to sit with you and really learn this tradition. And so that's what, out of Africa to New York, that brought me really back to my roots. Wow. of Haiti. And so I became initiated. And as initiation means that beginning. So I'm still learning. I was initiated in 2015. There's still a lot that I have to learn. But it brought me back to the roots of my ancestors, my country, and understanding what that means. That started that journey. And then a couple of years later, then I initiated in Ifa.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that the root was always there. And then that connection seems so... Well, sitting on this side talking to you, I'm like, oh, well, then of course that makes total sense, you know, because you're holding this energy so powerfully yourself, and how what a natural thing it would seem that then of course it was flowing through your family, even if it wasn't explicitly stated.
Exactly. And I had to forgive my mother, because when I came to understand the importance of this tradition, she was not there to really teach me. And then I would remember, oh yeah, she would set this altar. And I just remember small things that now that I know the practice of the tradition, oh, okay, she was practicing the tradition. And I was really upset with her for a long time. And I had to, in meditation and in my journeys, to really let that go, because she did what she had to do to protect her family, because it is so vilified in this country that she didn't want to bring that on us. So she kept it secret.
Yeah. Well, and I think that is important to talk about. It is one of those things that you hear the term voodoo, for example, and it conjures up all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I think if you don't know what it is, this is something that came up way back, I think back in 2021. I don't know if you know Lilith Dorsey, but they were a guest on this show, Voodoo Priestess, and it was talking about this as well. And I had not thought about it until they named it. And then it seemed very clear to me. And I don't know how you feel about this, but one of the things that they said on the show was also, if you think about the history of now we're talking about the United States, but it, I'm going to assume it applies to Haiti as well. If you think about the history of the United States and just the brutality of how people arrived here and the kind of magic that people might have been practicing at that time to free yourself or to get yourself into a better situation. I mean, what kind of spells do you think people might be casting to face the kind of evil that they're facing? And, you know, it really made me think about my own ancestors too, anybody who would have survived or have been caught up in the witch trials, and like what I hope that they were doing was everything that they had at their disposal, truly.
I have just take a moment because I really, especially at this time, given deep and thanks and gratitude to the she that decided to survive that atrocious voyage to come to this country. That she made a decision to survive where the Atlantic Ocean is the largest graveyard because of the enslaved people who threw themselves, who threw themselves off those ships if they could, or those who were thrown off because they were sick or whatever. But the she that survived in my family, I'm here because of that she. And so, and I know that the enslaved Africans brought over their tradition, their spiritual tradition, their magic, if you will, their altered sense of state, if you will, to be able to survive that freaking voyage, to be able to survive slavery, to be able to survive segregation and the lynching that has happened. And so, and they had to go underground, as in Haiti. Haitian voodoo is syncretized in terms of you'll see the saints on one of our altars. You'll see statues of saints and Mary and St. Patrick's. However, that was the way that they had to comport themselves so that because the religion was banned. But then St. Patrick's was really Dambala. Dambala is the energy that we call the highest form of energy of balance and the highest energy of in the pantheon, right? And so we would pray to the Catholic saint, but we know that, no, that's actually Ogu. Ogu rules, you know, fire. And iron, and this is Shango. Shango is lightning, right? Mama is really the fierce mother in voodoo. And so we had to go underground. And what's interesting now is, well, we're no longer enslaved people. There's a movement to move away from using those Catholic saints in voodoo. And my, one of the, my communities is part of that, is that we don't need to, we don't need these saints. We don't need these white saints anymore. Because back in, back home in Africa, it was nature. It was the trees. It was air. It was the lightning. It was the rocks. And the colonizers came out, they're worshiping the rock, not understanding that the ancestor is the rock.
Yes.
So there's a movement to move away from that. And then there are those like, no, this is Haitian voodoo and also Louisiana voodoo, spelled V-O-O-D-O-O, voodoo. Yeah. Use those symbols still, but there is a movement to move away. But yeah, we had to go on the ground and that's how we survived.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted to ask you too about the divine, well, the sacred feminine is the language that I use on this show, but I really want to kick that back to you, whatever language makes sense for you, and how your experience, understanding of God as she, sacred feminine, sort of, if that showed up in your life in a particular way. And then I guess the second part of that is how you understand her through the lens of these different spiritual traditions that are a big part of your life.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is, you know, every once in a while, I still attend a either Baptist church. I'm a member of a Catholic church. In fact, I had to register. when my daughter was born, I knew that if I didn't get her baptized, even though that she had a naming ceremony at 10 days old, at 4 days old, she had what's called an Ita, which was a life reading, because her father is a Babala, which is a priest in the Yoruba tradition. So we were doing all that, but I knew that I needed to get her baptized or I wouldn't hear it from my parents. And this was, and she got baptized at 6 months, which is very, very late in the Haitian tradition. I mentioned this because even in the Christian tradition, it is the women. It is the women who are ever so present, who are in the background, who is moving the energy, who's moving the congregation. And as I move to the different spirituality, it has been women, it's been the divine feminine energy that has been moving these traditions. And I, you know, in this lifetime, it's been interesting. This lifetime, I've had the opportunity to work with some amazing teachers and my mentors in several traditions: Hawaiian spirituality, Lakota Sun Dance, the Wiccan Celtic tradition, of course, Yoruba and Voodoo. And most people, they stick with one tradition, mm-hmm. right? But I've been called to, I feel like I've just been connecting the dots while in this lifetime, because at one time in the past life, I was a priestess or fully engaged in that particular tradition. Because all these traditions, and you know, I'm a witch. I'm a Black witch in New York. I'm proud to call myself one, to be a member of, you know, a Wiccan community and practice full moon traditions. And it feels so natural and good to me. It resonates like, yeah, I belong here. Most people don't see Black and brown people in that tradition as much, but there's a large number. And so in each of those traditions, the divine feminine has been the guiding force. And what I've noticed is that while they may be called by different names, it's the same energy. It's the same energy. You may call it Izuli Dando, you may call it Yemenya, you may call her Bridget. You know, it's the same energy. And so I've had the privilege to say, oh, and because in initiation, you're not, there's certain things that you can't share. But because I've done several, I said, oh, they do that over there. And the Lakotas are doing this over here. And it's the same thing that we do in Voodoo. And so the society has given us different names, but beloved, I'm here to tell you, in earth-based tradition, it's the same foundation. Mm-hmm. It's the same foundation. We are really not separated. We're more similar than we are different. And Gina Martin, my co-conspirator in a lot of these journeys, can tell you, because we experience ritual in Africa that she definitely connected to our grove in Suffern, New York. Mm-hmm. And that same energy was there. So yes, the divine feminine is, people are saying that she's on the rise. I want to say that she has risen.
Mm.
And right now, the work that you're doing, the ladies on the panel that we're doing, we're just really uncovering. She's here.
Yes.
She's here.
This all, Marie, just feels so hopeful for me. And I hope for listeners too, because I know, I mean, I was thinking probably because it's, you know, we're going to do our Day of the Dead celebration with the kids later today, but it's just been present on my mind. There's often this feeling that I have had of loss and frustration that it hasn't been passed down to me in a way that I've been able to hold on to. What I got was a conservative form of Christianity, which really has given me not much to work with, although I figured my ways around that. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying, just it reinforces to me your point, like that somehow people have figured out, like there's the undercurrent of what is, and our connection to source, spirit, mother, whatever you want to call it. And we can learn that from a variety of different earth-based traditions. We don't have to appropriate it necessarily if we're white, but like we can learn it. And then we can start listening inside and find it probably as well. Like the, you know what I mean? That spark of like, oh, I know this somehow without knowing it, because,
exactly.
Because otherwise it wouldn't be alive in all these traditions if it wasn't somehow, like it's not just because it was passed down orally or in written tradition, right? Like it came from a place of inner knowing, and that gets to live within us too.
That is so on point. We actually know more than we know. I was listening to a podcast by one of my teachers, and she was talking about, you know, we know more than we know. That more that we know is that cellular memory, right? The ancestral memory that we can tap in. So when we say, you know, I know more than I know because an ancestor has already lived that, it's in my bones. And once you're able to acknowledge that you know more than you know, a portal does open up to access that information. And I just want to acknowledge, I so appreciate you doing this work with your children. And my daughter grew up in all of these traditions. I did not leave her home with a babysitter or with her dad. I would bring her to ceremony with me. She has been on the Grove for full moon ceremonies. Mm. She has been to Sundance and participated in that tradition. I bring her to ceremonies. In fact, you know, because her father is a Babala, when she was growing, we actually had to work with her. I said, okay, you may not want to share that you went to ceremony yesterday because of the vilification of offerings, you know, live offerings in terms of chickens and whatnot. That's a part of the tradition. And that's a whole nother conversation about what that is. And I just want to say that all three major tradition, Catholic, Muslim, and Judaism, practice live offerings.
I was just about to say that. If anybody freaks out about that, there is a history of that. So, right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a history of live offerings. I have witnessed them in Africa with the Muslim, because I live in a Muslim country. But anyway, it's so important that, because my experience with my mom, who did not tell me anything until after she was an ancestor, that I make sure that my daughter understands what it is that we're doing. We have an ancestor altar that's right in the living room. Most of the time there's a candle burning, you know, in a glass container, of course, a 7-day candle. So she grows, and we have altars throughout the house. So she grew up with that and understanding the work of the goddess, the work of the different energies that we walk with, the visible and the invisible. It's so important for them to know that, also just for their own protection.
Yes.
Right? For their own protection. And I just wanted to demystify these things for her, because all of us have access to to magic, if you want to call it. We can, you know, light a candle and pray and shift energy. We can shift the energy. We can go into the backyard and talk to the trees and plant seed to shift energy. And though we use the word magic, I just really want people to understand this is how the goddess has always lived. It's like there's nothing really woo-woo. There's nothing magical about it in the sense that we all have access to be able to shift energy. We just have to remember that we can do it. And so it's important that, you know, you're doing this work with your children, because then they're going to pass it along to their children, and you normalize it. You know, you normalize intuition. And I was telling my daughter when she was coming up, she was bad with math. I said, listen, when you go to that exam, just call in one of your ancestors. One of them was really good at math. One of them was really good at history, whatever. Call them in and say, hey, can I get some help here?
Yes.
Let's make it really normal for our kids, because that's the ancestral memory that we can tap into and use.
Yes. Yes, I love that. And I kind of figured too, if they hit a point, you know, and they're like, wow, mom was weird, you know, that it's okay. It can skip a generation, because there'll be somebody, like, if they have their own children, then sooner or later, someone will want to pick it back up. So
always,
yeah,
they're always one in the family.
Right. Oh, I love that. Well, I already know. I know we're going to run out of time. I have so many things I want to ask you, but I know I'm going to get to this one for sure. I want to talk to you about your background in mental health. And this is really interesting to me personally, based on what we're talking about with your different spiritual paths, because I know for me, one of the things that's felt challenging is that I've had really, really meaningful experiences that you would put in the, like you were talking about, like that would fall in like ritual space or ceremonial space or in the mystical realm, like metaphysical realm, that I have sometimes found it difficult to talk about in a traditional mental health, like therapeutic setting, because I feel like the language can be really medicalized, you know, Western medicalized. And so I'm really curious, like what that's been like for you and how you've held these things and where they've merged and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, at one point I had no choice but to merge them because of who I am now. I walk this earth, how I show up on this earth. There's no way that I could really not bring all of that part in me. And as a mental health professional, I have my doctorate in social work, been doing it for over 30 years. When I had my private practice and I was with a group of other practitioners, we were very intentional. And these were all deeply spiritual folks. We were very intentional when we set up the office. One, first of all, it was feng shui. So to really work with the energy of the space. The session actually began when the client walked into the waiting space, because we did aromatherapy, we had music therapy. So they came in, they sat down, they began to de-stress. I had access to, we had crystals, we had sage and different oils, candle. And it depends on who the client was, that, but I would prepare my space to receive the client, right? So I'm very well formed in the different modalities. And I would also use my gifts, that all gifts that we have, the gifts that we all have, in terms of using my six and seven senses to understand the client. And sometimes I would, you know, their ancestors, their people, their guys would come in. And it's not that because people have to come into their own healing. Well, I would know exactly what needed to happen. And they would say, okay, yeah, she's pregnant. or this is what's happening in the home. I wouldn't blurt those things out. So I had extra information. So here's the thing. Many people, and that was the other piece, is because especially the work that I do, my other clinician, when they had a client who was having a spiritual awakening, I usually would get that client because I had a better understanding of working with spirits and doing cleansing and how to protect your space. It's okay. Let's send this person to Marie, because oftentimes mental health, psychosis can present, spiritual awakening, spiritual crisis can present as a mental health issue. And I'm very clear, mental health is an issue.
Yeah.
Right. It is very real. And so it's really, having a therapist who has that understanding of spirituality and religion. Some people do look for that, that can hold space for all of that for you. But a lot of us who have been trained by the formative tradition of school cannot think beyond the books of Freud, cannot think beyond certain things. And all of those techniques are important, but sometimes you have to go beyond the traditional methods that you've been trained in school to be able to see a holistic picture. So I've always seen people in a holistic point of view, how they bring all of themselves to me for whatever it is issue that they're having. And part of that is understanding that they also have ancestral trauma that they're walking with. And oftentimes they don't even realize that this issue is not even yours.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even yours. That came in with you. And we get to work on unpacking that and releasing that, especially in the Black and Brown community. A lot of work has to be done to release ancestral trauma because of enslavement, because of colonization, especially in the Indigenous community, the Native American community, and the trauma that we all still experiencing today. A lot of that is from generation behind you that you have to deal with. So when one is looking for a therapist, you definitely want to get a sense of who they are, especially if you're spiritual minded, to see if they may understand and help you process some of that. And unfortunately, there's more and more I see when I look at psychology today, people are putting spirituality in their profile. But you want to look for someone who has that in their profile. And the last thing I want to say is that we have a lot of intuitive people who are locked up in psych wards because the community, the medical community, do not know how to best support them. And I'm not saying that they don't, that there's a place for medication, because med can take the edge off if it's done properly so that you can work with your client. Right?
Yeah.
Just to take the edge off, because sometimes there's so many stuff going on. And however, too often, too much med is given that the person becomes confused. The person definitely develops a psychosis more than what they came into. Mm-hmm. And they're not getting the support to say, these voices that you're seeing, and they could be schizophrenic. I'm not saying that they're not, but let's explore what these voices, let's explore your family history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, we don't have a cultural context for that. It's funny, I was just listening to a podcast yesterday where the person who was speaking is practices Tantra Shaivism. So it's a classical Tantra from India. And he was saying this kind of the same thing that a lot of really the early enlightened spiritual teachers in India by our modern standards would be considered mentally ill for sure, the way that they presented. And we don't have a context. We don't have a cultural context here in the United States, I think, for how to hold that. What you're saying makes a lot of sense. And this is the only cultural context we have. And so we have to figure out how to survive in it.
Just want to just add, so in Senegal, the Ndoob tradition is a spiritual tradition that is recognized by the society. And I've seen this where they would have ceremony for someone who's not well, right? My students have attended those ceremonies. And when the doctors at the hospital are baffled by situation, they call on those priests, the priestess, to come into the hospital to hold ceremony for that person.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. And this is community healing, right? They understand this is beyond the medical scope. This person needs another kind of healing. So they call the priestesses, they come into the hospital, or that person in the community, there's ceremony that's held for that person. So yes, quite different from what we don't have here, where people are labeled dysfunctional and crazy. And not to say that they may not have mental health issues, but wouldn't it be interesting if they actually, in those spaces, the psych was, or they actually had a priestess, someone deeply spiritual who might be able to have those, train as well in psychotherapy, but also have the level of spirituality to be able to discern, well, what's really going on here? How can we also help this person in a different way?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
That would be beautiful. And I would also imagine that, so not having experienced that kind of mental illness myself, that being met in that way, which is different than sort of the, what I'm imagining the medicalized model is, which is, I know it wouldn't be spoken this way, but the idea is there's a problem here that we need to solve, right? As opposed to, I don't know, just like that spiritual context, I could see how that could be really supportive for somebody who's in a mental health crisis, period, potentially.
Have you seen the movie Crazy Wise?
No.
I would recommend, you can get it on Venmo. It actually talked about spiritual awakening that presents as mental illness, and it follows three individuals in the Sangoma tradition. So that eventually that person went into the Sangoma. Three individuals who were deeply intuitive, deeply psychic, and how the medical, their engagement with the medical institution, and eventually one of them was able to find themselves. But it's called Crazy Wise.
Okay.
It's quite interesting. And it also talks about how the overuse of medication in mental health. I would hire anyone who's interested in looking at mental health and spirituality. That would be an excellent film.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, I will find a link for it and put it in the show notes for everybody too.
Yeah.
The last thing I was going to say about this was just that I have my first teacher of the Divine Feminine, who really helped me begin to understand and open to this, her primary path was Kashmir Shaivism, but she's also a shaman and an astrologer and a medium, all these things. But I remember her telling me, it was very similar to what you're saying. I think her exact words were, the halls of psychiatric wards are filled with uninitiated shamans. Those were her words. Yeah. And I hope you all heard Marie, and I'll just repeat it again. Like, and no one here is saying, yeah, go off your medicine, and it's all misinterpreted. No. Like there's nuance. Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. As a mental health professional, I have seen the gamut. And especially in the Black and Brown community, where, first of all, they don't think that they should speak to anyone except, members of their family. Oh, auntie, that's just how she is. Or they don't have access to resources, because unfortunately, Therapy can be prohibitive for some folks.
Yes.
And I've just seen too many people who really need to be in a space, in the therapeutic space, to be able to unpack some of these ideas, not receive them.
Yeah.
I happen to be unique in the sense, and not really unique because there are other folks who bring in their spirituality, because your question was, bringing all of that. I had no choice but to walk my talk, to walk my path, as a mental health professional, as a spiritualist, as a priestess, as my friend would say, priestessing the world. So one of the ways that I priestess the world was through my mental health practice and working with students and adults and whatnot. It's important
Yeah.
that we take care of, especially in these days and times, that we take care of our mental health.
Yeah. Oh, okay, buddy, we're out of time, and I don't know. Maybe I can say if I can fit on your schedule. I don't know if you're traveling as much in 2024, but maybe I could talk you into coming back because I know another area of interest and wisdom that you hold is plant medicine, and that's something that I have not really touched and on the show, and I'd love to talk about that with you at a future time. I bet we could build a whole episode around
Yeah,
it.
I would love to talk to you more about plant medicine. So please invite me back. Let's get a schedule.
Okay.
The, what I want to say is every medicine is plant medicine, came from plant medicine. Every medicine came from plant medicine. Yeah, I just came back from a plant medicine journey in Ecuador, and it's been quite healing and releasing. And it's becoming more common in my field. They're psychedelic informed psychotherapy now.
Yes.
You could actually find someone who's doing that, and we can talk about what that looks like next time I come on.
All
But
right.
it's becoming more and more accepted again, because in the 1960s it was widely accepted, and then there was a whole ban, et cetera, et cetera. But in 2023, there's more an effort to bring those knowledge back. In fact, I'm a graduate of Columbia University School of Social Work. They just launched a certificate program for psychedelic informed psychotherapy.
Oh my
So
gosh.
yes, Columbia University is now doing
Amazing.
psychedelic.
Well, and you know, if it's coming out of New York and San Francisco and California, it's going to filter out to the rest of us sooner or later. So
Yeah,
this is
yeah.
good news. Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. So yes, I'll be more than happy to come back.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. It's been such an honor to be in conversation with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same
And
here, same here. Enjoy the preparations for the Day of the Dead and the stories that will be shared. And I'll be cooking for my ancestors and family in a little while. I'm looking
oh
forward to it.
yeah, oh I love that. I'll be doing it the same. I'll be doing the same. And we have a little playlist that we put together of songs that I know that my dad liked and my partner's mother liked and my grandparents and all that. So we play that music, while we cook and stuff, and it's always quite a lot of
Excellent.
fun. Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And thanks to all of you for listening. As always, I know I always say this, I'd do it without you, but this actually helps me get guests on, because there's an audience. So thank you for being interested and listening. And if you like the show, you can subscribe, you can tell all your friends about it, you can give it a favorable review, you can do all those things if it feels good. Until next time, take very good care of yourself and be with you again
Yeah.
soon. To Her is hosted by me, Liz Kelly. You can visit me online at hometoher.com, where you can find show notes and other episodes. You can read articles about the sacred feminine, and you'll also find a link to join the Home to Her Facebook group for lots more discussion and exploration of her. You can also follow me on Instagram at Home to Her to keep up to date with the latest episodes. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you back here soon.